You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
Church, God wants to use you. Look at someone and say, God wants to use you. Yeah, serious. Look back and say, you. I'm talking to you, yeah, amen. Hallelujah, amen. So, we're believing God for great things this year. The year has just started, but God is already doing something, and we thank God for that. Matthew 5:31, we are in our series, Christ Culture. And so today we're going to deal with a topic that probably, I'll be honest with you, if it wasn't just because it's the next thing to preach about. How many of you just got to preach the whole word of God? And so sometimes, you know, as a preacher, you like to preach certain things, you're cherry picking. But we're doing a series about the Sermon on the Mount. We want Christ culture. We're going to preach the full Sermon on the Mount. And so this is the next thing. I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes when I go shopping, I go into a shop and I see something I like, and I look at it. But after I know I like it, the first thing I'm doing, I'm looking for these. The price. Are you like me? Yeah. Amen. You look at the price. And so sometimes you go somewhere and you're like, hey, I like that, man. I like those shoes. And you turn them around. No, I don't like them that much. You ever done that? You're like, and it's like, they're the most expensive pair. And they're the only ones you like. And so you see the price. And so I don't know whether it's pride or what it is. But I don't want to just put them down quick. I've seen the price. No, I ain't buying these. But I pretend like... I ain't buying these, but I'm just pretending so that they don't think I'm broke, and I put them down and you need any help? Say, no, I'm okay. I'm thinking I'll never come back in this shop again. I was a few years ago when my wife went to Tucson, so I was like, I'm in America and I'm going to buy some shoes. And so I went into one of these stores in Tucson in between the sermons, and I saw these pair of shoes, and I thought, I like these shoes. These shoes are nice, man. And so we'd gone to a few different places, and I said to my wife, you know, I'm the type of person, I like specific things. And so I was like, no, that's what I was looking for. And so I turned it over. No. That's like 5-10 times what I was looking for. And I was like, no, even for this is ridiculous. No, I ain't never seen shoes like, what's this? And so the guy must have seen the shock. I couldn't even mask that one. He must have seen it. And so what he explained to me, he said, these are lifetime shoes. And I was like, what? Lifetime shoes? And basically, you buy these shoes, and when they wear out, you just bring them back. And they keep doing something with them, repairing them, and all of this stuff. So basically, these are lifetime shoes. These shoes are expensive. They needed to be lifetime. I want to say to you is that marriage is for life. Yes. Marriage is for life. And just like those shoes, marriage is not cheap. And so, if you're looking to get married, be willing to pay or walk away. Be willing to pay or walk away. Matthew 5, verse 31, Jesus says, furthermore, it's been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. So, I have to read this so you get it in context. Jesus says, furthermore, it has been said. So, Jesus is not saying this is what he's saying. He says, this has been said. This is your tradition. This is what you're teaching people. Then he goes into verse 32. This is what Jesus is saying. But I say, that's Jesus now. But I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except for sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your guidance, your balance, your wisdom. Father, as we tackle this difficult subject, Father, but I pray that we would be in line with your spirit, be in line with your will, be in line with your word. Father, most of all, we pray that Jesus would be magnified and all God's people said. Amen. Let me read another scripture, Matthew 19 verse 4. And the Bible speaks about, and Jesus, and he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning, so he's speaking about God who made Adam and Eve, made them male and female. How many know there's male and female? Marriage is male and female. Praise God. And said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife. And the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. Marriage, the Bible shows us here, is a man and a woman coming together, becoming one. And the Bible says, once you become one, God says you should not be separated. Once you become one, God's plan is that, you know what? You become one and you would not be separated. He says you are no longer two, but now one. Marriage is for life. Me and my wife got married 2004. And so you think about this now, is that here we are, we've been married, we were going about our life, two, now we've become one. And this is the deepness of marriage, and let me just throw that out there. The Bible doesn't describe any other relationship that you are really in as one flesh. One flesh. He says, this is serious. Even with your children, you love your children. Your children are like, you know, this is like the prized thing in your life, your children. When your children cry, you feel it. All throughout your life, your children, even when they're in their 20s and 30s, they're still your children. That relationship never changes. That's a natural relationship where you love your children. But the issue is this, you're still not one flesh with your children. Marriage is for life. Now, let me just say this statement here, and I'll clarify it, is that marriage is not always easy. No, nobody wanted to say amen, especially not the married people. Marriage is not always easy. That's the reality. You can say amen and no one's going to stone you. Marriage is just not always easy. Obviously, there's at least four people in the service today that they're like, no, we've just got engaged. We're on cloud nine. No, this doesn't apply to us. We're on cloud nine. Okay. But the reality is, if you've been married, you realize marriage is not always easy. Now, let me tell you this now. Getting married is easy. Now, some of you are trying to get married. You're like, Pastor, getting married ain't easy. Okay, if you think that ain't easy, wait till you get married. Because getting married is the easy part. Staying married is the hard part. Yes. I like weddings just like anybody else. You know, I don't get, my wife loves weddings. She's into weddings. She wants to, she's getting excited. There's a wedding and, you know, just seeing the bride and the groom and the dress and all of that. And so, you know, listen, I'm just happy you're married. You're living clean. That's me. I'm like, you happy? Yeah, you happy? Then I'm happy. That's it. That's me. You're happy. You're happy. Most of all, God is happy. I'm happy. Simple. But what excites me is not the wedding so much. And I said it recently at a wedding. What excites me is year after year after year, you're still married. That's when I get excited. I'll get more excited year in and year out. As I speak to a married man, hey, how's marriage? Oh, Pastor, I'm loving it. That's exciting to me. Speak to a married woman, how's marriage? Pastor, we're having a good time. We're working through things. Hey, we're seeing improvements. Where things are getting better. That's exciting to me. More than the day. That excites me. Some of you are like, yeah, we don't even care about that. We just want to see the day, the kiss, the cake, the dress. And then we want to go somewhere and you feed us. Well, listen, if you want to go somewhere and be fed, you better bring some gifts. And that's just a whole nother sermon. Coming there with your empty belly and your empty pockets. I just can't help it. I was going to behave today, but... Can I say, weddings can cost a lot. It's one day. Be very careful. Let me just throw this out there. Be very careful about, you know, spending so much on one day. Seriously, spending so much on one day. People are rocking their pockets, man. Suffering. For one day. One day. I always tell people, you know, we got through, man. We didn't spend loads of money on our wedding. And you're, yeah, Albert, because that was back in, you know, when the dinosaurs were roaming the earth faster, man. No. Those times, we had silver wedding rings. Our wedding rings were not gold, they're silver. Mine is still silver. This is the wedding ring I got married in. My wife, she got upgraded. My wife's engagement ring cost me about £400. Some women in here, you would cry. You'd be like, hey, some of you, I want a man that loves God like Pastor loves God. Listen, you don't want that. You don't want a man that loves God like me, because you get a £400 engagement ring. Some of you, you notice how it went quiet? There was like this nervous laugh. You know, Bola and Rhea are like, thank God he didn't preach this before we got engaged. They're like, whoo, thank God. Amen, Pastor, preach it. Preach it. My wife's wedding dress costs £100. My wife has spoken to somebody. Hey, Sister Francis, will you help us get married? My wife said, yeah, let me take you down here, this place. You know what? I'm busy that day. My suit, I think to rent my suit, it was like 20 quid. Some of you are like, no, I ain't feeling that wedding, man. I ain't feeling that wedding at all, man. Some of you are like, yeah, he better get to start reading some scriptures, because this ain't even scriptural. But let me say this, and it's only by the grace of God, church, but we are more in love now. Well, I am anyway. I'm only joking. The reality is that those things do not affect the quality of your love, of your relationship, of your future. Now, let me say this now. If you're a millionaire and you spend $100,000 on your wedding, it's nothing. If you're a millionaire, no problem. I'm standing there at the end of the service. We can talk. If you're a millionaire and you spend $100,000 on your wedding, that's hardly nothing. But if you earn $40,000 and you spend $20,000 on your wedding, I would say you're not wise. I'm gonna say it in a nice way. This is the new me. You're not wise. Let me just say this. This is the point I want to get to. A wedding is costly. But can I tell you, a marriage is going to cost you more. Yeah. Did you know that? Marriage costs you more. And I don't just mean money. It will cost you more money. But it's going to cost you more than money. Marriage is going to cost you your time. Marriage is going to cost you your pride. Marriage is going to cost you discomfort. Marriage is going to make you have to shut your mouth sometimes when you want to talk. Marriage is going to have to humble you, that there's times you're just going to have to forgive people. And you've never forgiven. If anyone else did this to you, you would never forgive them. Even though you're a Christian and you should forgive them. Marriage comes at a high price. See, there are some married people that you look at their marriage, you want their marriage, and you think, oh, they made marriage look easy. You don't realize they're paying in the secret place. They're doing the right things in the secret place so that in the public place, you see they've got a blessed marriage. See, you talk to people, and if I was to say to anybody here, hey, listen, marriage is not easy all the time. Yeah, Pastor, yeah, we know that. If I said, who thinks here marriage is always going to be this bed of roses? No hands would go up. If I went through all of you here and I said to you, sometimes, you know, there's going to be ups and downs in marriage, you'd be like, yeah, we know that. That's fine. But the issue with marriage sometimes is you enter in thinking, okay, I know it's not going to be, you know, I know it's not going to be like heaven, because heaven is just heaven. But it's going to be close. And then you enter in and you realize it's costing you more than you originally expected. That actually it's harder than you expected. See, there's one thing to realize, yeah, I got to deal with something. It's another thing when I've got to spend more. It's one thing when I've budgeted, I take my car to the to be serviced. And then the guy calls me up, oh, yeah, Courtney, you can come and pick up your car. But also we did some other checks and these are another £100. I'm vexed. Because I budgeted, I expected certain things. And that's how it is many times. That you get married, and you thought you was marrying Rachel, and you wake up with Leah. Or you thought you was marrying Ricky, and you wake up with Leo. It goes both ways. And when you end up spending more than you expect, it's hard. You know, in stocks and trading, when these people do trades, what they do is this. There's like a stop loss. They call it like a stop loss. It's where they've invested a certain amount of money in a stock and they want it to go up or down or whatever. But it gets to a point where it's going in the wrong direction. They're losing money. And they put a line where they say, this is a stop loss. If it goes to this point, we're just going to get out. And you know what? Just handle our losses. Yep, we lost, but we're just going to get out because we don't want to lose anymore. Sometimes when people enter into marriage and it starts to get hard and it's costing them a lot, they've got stop losses. There are people that are getting married and in their mind they have a stop loss. This is costing me. Yeah, I knew it'd be a bit hard. I knew I wouldn't get my way all the time. I know Nan, again, she wouldn't cook me dinner and you give me, you know what. And I know there's other times that he wouldn't, you know, be like this. He'd come in, he'd be a bit grumpy. But this is what, okay, I'll pay that. But this is going below that. And now it's going below the, it's getting to the point where it's at the stop loss. I want to pull out. It's called divorce. A Christian should never be talking about, two Christians should never be talking about divorce. Remember I said two Christians. Me and my wife have never mentioned that word in 11 years. We've never said, I wish I never married you. We've never had an argument where we've said anything of that nature. Yeah, we've had arguments, disagreements. Obviously, I'm always humble and apologizing and seeking unity. Let me speak quickly about divorce in the Bible. First time we see divorce in the Bible is really in Deuteronomy 24. And let me give you the background, because this is where Jesus is quoting. In our text, Jesus says, you guys have heard that a guy can give a certificate of divorce. And Jesus challenges that. And what Jesus is speaking about is in Deuteronomy. So we're talking Old Testament now. This is Moses bringing in the law. People, men were divorcing their wives. And what happened was a man would divorce his wife. And then he would divorce her. And then the Bible says that if he saw some uncleanness in her, he would divorce her. So something's not right. He'd divorce her. And then maybe she would marry someone else. And then the guy would be like, I want you back. And it's like, no, you can't be doing that. No, she was my wife. And so they're like, "What? How do we deal with this problem? Because this is what Moses was addressing. He wasn't advocating divorce. He's addressing this issue. Because this is why he said, if you divorce a woman, you must give her a certificate. Remember, that's what it said in our text. What is that for? The certificate is for who? Not the issuer, but the one who receives it. Think of what I'm saying now. Follow me. Who was, when Moses was speaking this, who was it to protect? It was to protect the woman. Because now she can get on with her life. Because she's received this certificate. So if she remarries, because when you read in Deuteronomy 24, what he says is, listen, if you find some uncleanness in this woman, you divorce her, you give her a certificate. When she marries another man, it says it in Deuteronomy, it says, listen, you can't have her back, because if you do, it's an abomination. But what had happened is this, just like all of the other Old Testament laws that Jesus has been challenging, and if you've been following as we've been preaching this Christ culture, remember, Jesus keeps introducing what the old law says and how you've twisted it, Pharisees. And what's happened is here, they've twisted it to such a point is now, if the wife burnt the food, he would divorce her. Moses said, there's your bill, be gone. If she put on weight, she starts to put on a bit of weight. She's looking a bit more chunky now. He's like, that's it. He goes to work and there's a new chicky babe there. He comes home. Listen, man, I got something for you. And it ain't flowers. And Jesus says, Jesus is coming to challenge that. And he says, you have heard it said, if you want to divorce a woman, that you could just give her a bill of divorce and then she's divorced. And Jesus says, no, that's not the way it should be. Divorce is for one reason only. The justification for a Christian divorce, godly divorce, is if that person has been sexually unfaithful to you. That is the only justification, Jesus says. See, the reason why Moses allowed that, because it was happening already. And Jesus says, listen, because of the hardness of man's heart. Listen, there's a lot of things that was going on in the Old Testament. I mean, you know that. If you've read your Old Testament, listen, there's things in there that were just, whoo. If that happened to now, you'd be like, listen, if you put the Old Testament, if you made a film, a real film of it, that thing ain't you. That ain't even PG. How many know that if you read your Bible, some of you look at me, really? We should do a test, and that tells you if you're reading. See, Christian divorce, the only justification for Christian divorce is if someone has been sexually immoral. They've cheated on you. They've entered into sexual behavior with someone, obviously not you, if you was the person that's in the marriage. Now, what about separation? In the book of Corinthians are, well, you know, it's just when you see the book of Acts, you see where Paul was at Corinthians, so it's Greece. And these are people that are pagans. They come from a pagan culture. They're not Jews. And so here are these people. They are pagans. They were doing all types of madness, and they get saved. The Corinthian church is this crazy carnal church. And so here are these people. And so what would happen is some of these people are getting saved. And so some of them were already married. And the question was going around the church, what do we do now? Me and my husband got married before we came to church. Now I came to church and got saved and my husband's not saved. Are we legitimately married? And Paul addresses this issue and he says, yes, you are legitimately married. And if the unsaved person is willing to live with you, then stay with them and live with them. Because, and he says, listen, your marriage is legitimate, because otherwise your children would be illegitimate. And your children in marriage are legitimate. But then he goes on and says, but if the non-Christian says, listen, I don't want to be with you, then he says, you are allowed to be separated from them. So they don't want to live with you. You got married together, but that is not divorce, that is separation. And what that would mean is that you'd be separate from them, but it doesn't mean that you can go remarry someone else. Because they haven't actually, unless they go on with their life and they say, listen, I'm leaving you, and they violate the marriage. If they violate the marriage, then we've gone back to the first clause. We go back to what Jesus says. Do we understand? Now, we do appreciate, we are talking about Christian marriage. And so we're going to have people that come into church that maybe had multiple divorces. What do we tell them? We can't tell them to go back to their first wife. See, really what we're talking about is a Christian marriage. And once you get saved, this is what you're under. This is what you're under. We can't tell if someone's had multiple marriages, who do they marry? And even when you look in the Old Testament, Moses said, well, once that woman has left that husband and she's married someone else, she can't go back. It'd be an abomination. So this is why if you get married in the church, we marry you in the church. We expect you to stay married for life. If we've married you in this church, we will expect for you to be married. You was married as a Christian. You married a Christian. This is why we don't marry non-Christians to Christians. So you can come up in here with your colleague from work and bring him to me. Unless I think he's saved, I'm not doing the wedding. You can go do what you need to do. That's up to you. If you want to enter into a life of pain and heartache, but the reality is that Christians marry Christians, and if you would get a divorce, then we would see that as a sin, unless that person has violated their marriage and cheated on you. So we understand there are justifications sometimes for separation, and when we say separation, we mean that basically you're still married, you're just not living together. And that means you can't just go off and find a new boyfriend. Sometimes people separate to work things out, work things through. I would not suggest that a woman who's being abused physically by a man, that I was going to tell her, go home to your husband. No, we need to get that brother out of there. And if he continues, then we're going to call the authorities. And I'll tell any guy in this place, you abuse your wife, I'm going to tell her to exhaust every authority there is to deal with you. Because I'll tell you now, no man is better than a waste man. And so I told you. So don't come crying to me. But I said, why didn't you? No, I told you. I warned you. Don't put your hand on your wife. I've never put my hand on my wife. If you put your hand on your wife, you're worse than a waste man. I don't know what you are. You're a scourge of society. But she's beating me. Just get out of there, you. Get out of there then, man. Come on. I know there is. I'm not belittling domestic violence on men. I don't know how it works, but. No, I'm serious. I'm not belittling that. That would be insensitive and stupid of me, but. I don't know how it works. Get out of there, bro. You know, unless she's one of those, you know, them women and them cage fighting women, then I'll be like, bro, man, yeah, we need to get her arrested. And I'm not belittling domestic violence either. Jesus help me. Let me say this now. Marriage should reflect God. Marriage should reflect God. We should see the role of God and the church as a physical model played out on earth. When we look at your marriage, we should be able to understand that model of Jesus and the church. We know the scripture. Let me just read it. Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife. Also, as also Christ is the head of the church. As, like. And he is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wife just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. The Bible is saying that a marriage should model the relationship that God has with his church. So every married couple here, you have a responsibility. And that responsibility is when we look at your marriage, it doesn't matter how long you've been saved. Every Christian married couple in this church, we should look at your marriage. I mean, every marriage should do this, but we don't expect non-Christians to live like Christians. So every Christian marriage, we should look at your marriage, and your marriage should reflect the relationship with Jesus and his church. So let me just, this should be every marriage, but let me put myself in there. When you look at myself and Francis, you should see something. Oh, this is how Jesus is with his church. So you should be able to look at me and think, yeah, he's a leader and he's a provider and he's a protector. This is what you should look. When you see me, there is something that you should see that you should be like, yeah, he's a leader, he's a provider, he's a protector. And you'd be like, so that's how Jesus is to the church. So that's what we should see, husband. When you look at my wife, you should see a woman who is safe, who is secure, who is satisfied, and who is submitted. This is what you should see, a woman. She's safe. Look how she's been protected. She's been provided for, so she's safe. She's secure in herself. She's not insecure about herself. When she was single, she might have been more insecure about herself. But now she's married and her husband is covering her, she's more secure about herself. She's more satisfied because he's helping her emotionally, mentally, financially, physically, spiritually. He's helping her. But also, she's submitted. She's come under his leadership. Just like I, and so when you look at myself and my wife, no way are we perfect. No way. We're humans, man. We've got sin in us. But there should be elements that you look at our marriage and be like, I see how Christ and the church is. That is the role of marriage. See, God is married to his people, church. And God is faithful. Do you know that God is faithful? And so, if you're going to be like God, you should be faithful in your marriage. You see, remember what we said, marriage should reflect God. So God is faithful, so you should be faithful. Obviously, we understand you should be sexually faithful. You should be truthful. Do you know that there's never a time when, really, me and my wife, we don't know where each other is. My wife always knows where I am. She knows I'm off somewhere, following up on someone. I'm going here to meet up with this person. Same with my wife. I always know, where are you going, babe? Yeah, where you go? How are you getting back? I always said, hey, how are you going to get back? Okay, call me when you get out. I'll come pick you up. I need to know where she is, man. He says, is he controlling? No. I want to know where she is. Keep make sure that she's safe. There's some mad people out there. She needs to know where I am. Babe, I'm just going out. I'm going to go and meet this guy. I'm going to go there. There's never a time where you would ask my wife or ask me, where are they? I ain't got a clue. I ain't got a clue where that brother is. I don't know. I ain't seen that brother for days. I don't know. I'll see him Wednesday. Me and you both. No. We always know each other is because we're one flesh. Yes. We're one flesh. Yeah. See, I got to be faithful to my wife. That means physically faithful, keeping away from the jizzies. Yeah. But not just physically, emotionally. I've got to make sure, listen, you know you can get involved in emotional adultery. Let me give you a little breakdown of this emotional adultery. Saving in my notes, but I just feel the spirit deposited something in me, man. This is when you're going to work or you're going somewhere and you really can't wait to see that person. You really can't wait to sit down and talk with that person and kind of download your stresses and your dreams and your aspirations on that person. You're enjoying talking to that person more than you're enjoying talking to your own spouse. Maybe that's why, bro, when you come home, you haven't got nothing to say anymore because you've given it all to someone else. Sister, maybe that's why anyway. But he's buying me flowers. Listen, We know the world is different, but any brother, mind you, if you're like, hey, thank you for the flowers, I know it's my birthday, but my husband really, you know, he don't want no brother buying me flowers. So be like, hey, this is a bit harsh, isn't it? Listen, if I'm going to be the provider and the protector and doing all of this, then I have to get some benefits as well. We need to be faithful in all areas. Faithful in all areas, church. When no one's looking. Married couple here, if we was to follow you around with a camera, how you're in the shop, how you're in work, how you're with that colleague, how you're speaking to that sister in church. Yeah, I'm just helping her, Pastor. I'm just counseling her. I'm just comforting her and counseling her. Listen, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is the comforter and the counselor. Would you imagine? And then we put it on the screen and we just say, let's just watch our brother today, man. Let's see what's going on. Would we see? Hey, would you be like, no, let's turn it off. We need more Bible, more prayer. See, if there's anything, we need to be faithful. God is faithful in his marriage to the church. God is faithful to us, church. But let me go deeper, because that's like, listen, even the world don't like unfaithful people. Even the world don't like, I mean, no, even in the world, we know that unfaithfulness is nasty. But let's look at God and his marriage. Let's go a bit deeper into this. God is faithful to us when we are unfaithful to him. Now we've gone on to a whole nother territory. This is Christ culture. That God is faithful to you even though you are unfaithful and I are unfaithful to him. The Bible shows us in Jeremiah 3 verse 1, and at the tail end of that verse it says, but you have played the harlot with many lovers, yet return to me, says the Lord. He's talking to the children of Israel and he's saying to them, listen, you have played the harlot. He's saying you act like a whore. You act like a whore. You know, a whorish woman. Giving herself to every other guy. The Bible says that's how we are. And you can sit here and say, Pastor, not me. No, you and me. We would run to the world and we want satisfaction in the world. That we run back to our old sins and our old ways. That we cheat on God with our sin. We cheat on God with our sin. We go back to the thing God says, live holy, live right. And we're doing things in the secret and we've made mistakes. There's not one person here. Listen, if you think, oh no, not me. You are great. You're more deluded than all of us. That we many times we find ourselves attracted to the world. We're looking to the world, the things of the world. We can't keep our eyes off the world. Imagine you was out with your spouse and they couldn't keep their eyes off another man or woman. How would you feel? But many times we're claiming that we're Christians. We're claiming that we're saved. And we're looking all around at the things of the world. We're looking at things in secret. And there's people secret raving and secret this and secret boyfriend, secret girlfriend and all of this stuff. And God still says, listen, even though you've whored yourself out, even though you've gone all around, he says, I want you back. He says, I'll be faithful to you. Even though you haven't been faithful to me, I will love you and I want you. Church, I don't know if I could love like that. Jeremiah 3 verse 14 says this, return, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married to you. I will take you, one from a city, two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion.
God is always calling out to us saying, I'm married to you. Even though you've cheated on me, even though you've run away from me, even though you've shamed me, even though the way that you've treated me. This is how God is in marriage. This is how God is. He's always calling us back to himself. Now, I want you to think about this now. If we are in a marriage and that person is unfaithful to us, Jesus says, listen, you got every right to divorce them. But the question would be this, what would God do? But I'm not even gonna step on that, because that's a whole nother topic. I'm not even gonna deal with that. I'm not telling nobody what to do in that area. You pray, you seek God, you find out what you need to do in that area. But this is what I'll say. Many times it's not that we've been cheated on, we're married, and now you're just not happy. God is so faithful to us. When we're so unfaithful to him, he still wants to call us back. But we get a little bit unhappy for a season in a marriage, and now I want out. I want out of this thing. Now, this ring has reached a stop loss. I've lost too much. Better I just get out now and cut my losses. That is not the heart of God. That is not a marriage that reflects God. And that is not a marriage that actually has the reflection of God in it. Because you're not happy for a season. You don't make me happy like you did when we were dating. Because that was fantasy. That wasn't reality. That was fantasy. Dating is fantasy, by the way. Hold it. Taking pictures. It's fantasy. The reality is coming. Fantasy, listen, dating is just like trying on the shoes in the shop. Me walking around with these expensive shoes. Oh, look, looking in the mirror. Yeah, this is nice. Yeah, I could be preaching in these babies, man. Yeah, we'd have a revival. But how many know I got to pay for them? I can't just walk. How many know I got to pay for them? You're not getting on. It's too hard. See, Jesus says divorce comes from a hardness of heart. You know, the Bible tells us to be godly. And the word godly means to be godlike. It means I'm like God. I reflect his image. I value the things he values. I react the way he reacts. You know, that's our goal. Our goal is to become God-like, not in essence, that somehow, you know, I'm some sort of God who emanates. No, no, I'm not a self-existent being. I'll never be a self-existent being. But in my characteristic, when man was created, he was created in the image of God. That image is not just a physical thing, it's a spiritual thing. And he lost that. And in Christ, we are being renewed into the image of Christ, who is God. And so we should see things about you that react like God. You should be giving like God gives. You should be forgiving like God gives. You should love how God gives. All of these things, this is what we're being turned into. That is what a godly man is. A godly man is not just someone who stands up in a building, a Gothic building with a long robe on and talks like, oh yes, hello. He's godly. No, a godly person, listen, doesn't matter what you wear on the outside, to a degree, a godly person is how they respond like God. That's what makes you godly. And in your marriage, do you respond like God, who, even when we cheat on him to the most extreme, he still accepts us back? But then our marriage, you annoy me one day and I want out. That is not godly. See, yes, we are permitted to divorce within a certain context, but our God is not a God of divorce.
How many thank God that God doesn't divorce us? Listen, 2 Sundays ago, I was 20 years saved. Someone actually reminded me, I didn't even realize. They was more excited than me. '96, I got saved. Listen, if God was a God of divorce, I wouldn't have made it till February. January, I got saved, 1996, 17th. I wouldn't have made it till February. He would have, what? Divorced. There's your certificate. But 20 years later, I'm still here. And some of you have been saved longer, and some of you will be saved longer than that. That in years and decades to come, you're still going to be here saved. You're still going to be loving God, serving God, living with a destiny on your way to Zion. You know why? It's because day after day, Jesus pursues you and he says, listen, backslider, I'm married to you. I am not going to divorce you. I'm not into divorce. I want to reconcile with you. And what God would ask us to do is say, listen, yes, you can divorce. But I'm not a God of divorce. I'm a God of love. And we need to be a people of love. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.